The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
How much would it cost to buy your way into the kingdom of God if you could do that? Are there a couple of parables that say something about that? We're going to be talking about that in the next few minutes, and I hope you will stay tuned to Grace in Focus. This is the podcast and broadcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society, and we're glad that you are here today. If you want to know more about the Grace Evangelical Society, our website can be found at faithalone.org. Faithalone.org. Now with today's discussion, here are Ken Yates and Bob Wilkin.
Welcome to another episode of Grace in Focus. And Bob, you got a great question about the parables in Matthew 13.
Yeah, this is from South Carolina, your neck of the woods.
Wow.
Ruth and her husband are asking this question. And Ruth said, still enjoying the podcast and learning so much. Thank you for your ministry and faithfulness to the word. Here are our questions. In Matthew 13, what is the meaning of the various parables? And why do so many commentators, including some dispensationalists, equate the kingdom with the church? So that's a great question, Ruth. And I think maybe, Ken, for the sake of time, let's focus specifically on Matthew 13, 44 to 46, which is two very short parables in Matthew 13. One is the parable of the hidden treasure, and the other is the parable of the pearl of great price. How about reading 44 for us, the hidden treasure?
Okay, and in Matthew 13, 44, it says, the Lord is speaking, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field.
Okay, now, in biblical interpretation, in hermeneutics, or it's also called exegesis, you want to look at the details, right?
Right.
So what are some of the details in verse 43 that we ought to be paying attention to?
Well, now, when you say verse 43 or verse 44?
I mean 44.
Yeah, the first question is, well, there's a couple of them that come to mind. What is the kingdom of heaven?
Yeah, because Ruth asks about that. Is the kingdom of heaven the church? Nowhere is the church described as the kingdom of heaven.
And when she talks about people, you know, and she even says some dispensationalists see the kingdom of heaven here as talking about the church. I'm assuming the church age is what she means. Obviously, people who don't see a distinction between the church and Israel are going to come to this and say, oh, well, this is talking about the church. But that's not what's going on in Matthew 13.
Right. And many, many people think this, from a lordship salvation perspective, think the issue here is salvation.
Exactly.
So kingdom of heaven is more or less rough and ready for the new birth. I mean, they'll say, okay, you're not going to get into the kingdom unless you buy it for yourself.
Exactly. And so a lordship salvation person is going to say, well, the man here is anybody who hears the gospel, for example.
Okay.
And so I need to, okay, I'm an unbeliever. I hear the gospel. What does the gospel tell me? I've got to sell everything. I've got to give up everything. I've got to be willing to give up everything. I've got to make Jesus Lord of my life. There's nothing I can hold back. If there's any sin in my life, I've got to be willing to lay it down and pay the price in order to be a part of the kingdom of heaven, which is, okay, making it into heaven, or to be a part of the church, whatever the, however they're going to word that.
All right. So a key question here is, a man, okay, who is this man? Is it every person in the world who's trying to have everlasting life, or is it something else?
Yeah.
And the way we determine who a man is in part the rest of verse 44, but in part what precedes verse 44. In other words, there's a parable before this, which is called what parable?
The wheat and the tares, right?
Okay, and isn't it called a man in verse 26, is it?
Yes, when Jesus gives the parable, is it verse 26? It's verse 24. Well, and by the way, that phrase kingdom of heaven is there as well.
Right.
The kingdom of heaven is like a man. So in the previous parable, we've got the kingdom of heaven, and we have a man
who's sowing this good seed.
Right. And we don't have to wonder in that parable that precedes us who the man
Why?
Is.
Why?
Because in verse 37, he tells us.
Jesus interprets it.
Right.
And what does he say in 37?
He who sows the good seed, the man who sows the good seed, is the Son of Man, which is obviously a reference to himself.
Jesus often referred to himself as either the Son of Man or the Son of God.
So we have a parable that goes before this that's talking about a man and the kingdom of heaven. And now in the parable that we're talking about here, of the parable of the hidden treasure in the field, we've got the man again.
Right. And so we should be inclined to think this is quite probably Jesus. But there's another key expression at the end of the verse. It says, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Okay, if the field is the kingdom of heaven, are we actually buying our own entrance into the kingdom of heaven? That's the way Lordship Salvation interprets this.
Right.
That we are the ones buying the kingdom. Well, it makes more sense to say Jesus is the one buying the kingdom. And where did he buy the kingdom? Or how did he buy the kingdom?
Well, he bought the kingdom on the cross when he paid for the sins of the world. And as Paul says, he reconciled the world to himself.
Right.
His death on the cross is the price that was paid. And that fits perfectly right here that
right.
We don't buy this. We don't pay the price for the kingdom of God to come. Jesus paid the price for
right.
the kingdom of God to come.
With his shed blood.
Right.
The price was his very life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it wouldn't really make sense to see verse 44 as saying that in order for a human being to get into the coming kingdom, he must sell all that he has.
And buy it.
And buy it.
Years ago, when I was traveling in the military, and I went to a new church, and I was, checking it out to see if I would attend that church while I was in that new location. I went to a Sunday school class, and we went out to lunch afterwards, the teacher of it, and he talked to me about this verse, and he saw this as an evangelistic verse.
He did.
Yes. He said, this is a verse that's talking about what a person has to do to be saved from hell, and they must give up everything.
Wow.
So I realized quickly this was probably not the church for me.
But that's kind of sad, isn't it? Because that's the attitude of the Pharisees.
Sure.
That they're somehow better. Remember the Pharisee and the publican? I thank God I'm not like other men. I'm not like this publican over here. I fast twice a week. I tithe all that I have. He's like, I'm really a good guy. I thank you. I'm not a bad guy.
And what's amazing about that is the same people who say this is talking about how to go to heaven or the church, to go back to the original question by Ruth and her husband, this is how I get into the church. I got to sell everything. Most preachers who preach that will in the next breath say, but it's absolutely free.
Yeah.
It's by grace. You've got to sell everything you have, but it's absolutely free.
And you know what, Ken? That's why people think, I could never be a preacher because I never went to seminary. And you only get these wonderful insights by going to seminary because you'd never get this on your own. If you were just reading the Bible, you'd never understand it that way. Because how could it be free and I buy it? But I guess this is one of those mysteries.
Yes.
And by the way, I call this the Calvinist mystery box,
yeah.
Right? They have all these verses that don't make any sense, but they say, but that must be what it means.
So obviously what's going on here is Jesus is the man. He paid the price to bring in the kingdom, to buy it. Bob, I'm kind of curious, what do you think he means when he says in the next parable, when he says there in verse 44, the kingdom which a man found and hid. So Jesus buys the kingdom with his blood on the cross, and then he hides it. Now, first off, if that's a believer, what does that mean? I sell everything I have, I buy this,
and then I hide it. Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense. But when we see that it's talking about Jesus, I'm kind of curious. I've got my own view. I'm going to see if you...
All right. I've never been asked this, but my initial inclination would be this ties in with the fact that Jesus goes away and returns.
Yes.
And so while he's away, the king is away. And so it's hidden in the sense that the king is no longer here on earth. He's hidden from sight on earth. Therefore, in that sense, the kingdom is hidden. And by the way, this would deny already, not yet.
Right. Yeah, my view is very, very, very similar to that. Matter of fact, it may be the exact same, that the price has already been paid. Now we're just waiting for the king to come back.
Right.
And so it's the kingdom's not here, but the price has been paid. This world, he's going to rule over this world.
Right.
And we look at it now, the world looks at the world now, and they don't see that.
Right.
It's hidden. But the king's coming back, and he's going to rule over this world.
Yeah, so, now, you had an interesting view on the next parable, and we don't have much time for it, but I don't think we need much time. This is where Jesus said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now, I've always thought, and I think I've written on this, that this is saying the same thing as the hidden treasure.
So it's a parallel, repeating, yeah.
And so I've always thought the merchant was Jesus, and that the pearl of great price is the kingdom, and he's buying it. However, you've pointed out that there are several major differences. For example, he's not called a man, he's called a merchant.
Right, but in the previous two parables, Jesus is a man, but now he says there's a business guy,
right,
a merchant.
That's different, and also it's not the kingdom he's buying, but he's buying a pearl of great price. And so my view maybe doesn't work. What's your view of verse 45?
This is talking about the believer who sees the kingdom and the value of reigning in it, and they're willing to follow in Christ's example. And so they see reigning with Christ as a pearl of great price. And so merchant is talking about us as believers, not how to get in the kingdom, but to be rewarded in that kingdom. We see the value of living in light of the coming kingdom.
I'm persuaded that that's the correct view for these reasons. Number one, it switches from man to merchant. And number two, it switches from kingdom of heaven to pearl of great price. There is a sense in which we can buy rulership in the life to come by laying down our lives.
Mark 8, 34 through 38.
Yeah.
Or laying up treasures in heaven.
Right. Same thing in Matthew 16, 24 to 28. And what is a man willing to give in exchange for his psuche, his inner self? And ultimately, it's talking about fullness of life, because Jesus said the Son of Man will come with his angels and reward each according to his works.
So the parallel would be that Jesus saw the value of this coming kingdom. He gave up everything. We as believers can follow in his footsteps.
Okay, so Ken, I need a magazine article from you about Matthew 13, verses 45 and 46, right?
All right, you're the boss.
Give me 1,000 to 2,000 words, and y'all look for it in an upcoming Grace in Focus magazine. And until then,
keep grace in focus.
Are you interested in finding other Free Grace believers just like yourself in your area? On our website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other Free Grace churches that might be in your area. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or some feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the next episode, is repentance a part of confession, and how are they related? Please be sure to join us. And until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.